You're listening to Trucking Questions from the Audio Road with Kevin Rutherford. This is the show that puts the money where it belongs, back in your pocket. You can ask questions about trucks, money, fuel mileage, maintenance, tires, tax, technology, or anything else about the business of trucking. Here we go. Let's head on down the Audio Road.
Good evening, everyone. This is Rico Muhammad coming to you live from Ozark, Arkansas tonight. And tonight we have a special guest. Mr. Chuck Snow is going to be joining us in just a second. Tonight we're going to delve into, we want to really have a really interactive show tonight. So if you got any questions, if you remember Chuck from the last call, he's the CEO of Traffix, the oldest brokerage company in Canada, and also an asset-based carrier. So you have an opportunity to speak to a CEO that has the pulse of the market. So you get an opportunity firsthand. I don't know if you guys get this opportunity much, but you got a firsthand opportunity to pick the brain of a true professional in Chuck Snow. So if you got any kind of questions or anything, get lined up, press number one so we can get you in the queue. My phone screener is gone tonight. She's got tennis lessons, so... we're flying solo without a net tonight, so you're going to be stuck with me. So tonight we're going to jump into a little bit of a topic that we talked a little bit about earlier this week on the Rate Per Mile Masters Facebook page. Was about the spot market rate kind of tanking this week. And pulling up the DAT Trendlines report, and we're going to just jump into it and start off with that. Rates recede seasonally is the headline that the DAT Trendline report says. The week of July 6th through the 12th, spot market capacity rebounded fully from the July 4th holiday week, but load availability rose only 8.7%, a typical seasonal pattern for early July. Rates declined 2 cents per mile for vans, 5 cents for reefers, and 7 cents for flatbeds compared to extraordinary high of the previous week, and which I don't understand why flatbeds would have declined, because demand is still, from all indications that I'm seeing, demand for flatbed is still out of this world. So we're going to jump over to the U.S. van market demand report real quick. And load availability recovered only 3.7%, while truckload capacity increased 27%, so you got a conundrum right there. In the first full week after Independence Day, the national load-to-truck ratio dropped 19% from 4.4 to 3.6 loads per truck, which is still favorable for carriers, and that is what I was going to get into when we were talking about spot market rates kind of plummeting, falling on its face, a lot of people have been saying. But the rates are still pocketed. I got a question earlier this week. Someone was asking me about which are the best states to be in. And sometimes when you see those state indicators on the information that DAT puts out as far as the hot states and stuff like that, you have to be really cautious about that information, because one sector of a particular state that has a really good freight, and it could skew those numbers and make that state look like it's doing really well. And if you're in the wrong part of the state, you're kind of in a real bad position, and you wonder why you can't get any. You were saying all indications said that this is supposed to be a good area, but I'm not seeing. You know, I'm getting these low ball offers. I'm getting these low rates. Once again, going back to what we've been harping on, now is, you know, it was feast of spot market is feast of famine, depending upon if you have the information to know how to work it properly. Unlike my counterpart, Chad Boblett, that's really aggressive, he likes to stay aggressive, and he goes anywhere and everywhere in the United States. You know, you guys kind of know a little bit more about my operations. You know, I run a one-truck carrier with the refrigerated operation, but I only operate in the Southeast, so my operation is a little bit more condensed. I don't go all over the United States. So we can get into that a little bit later. I want to finish this up real quick, and I want to get Chuck on so we can get him in and get some good information out of him. So That was the U.S. van market. We're going to dip over in the flatbed demand. U.S. flatbed demand, the flatbed load availability recouped 14%, and truckload capacity added 34% in the first 4 weeks after the July 4th holiday. The load-to-truck ratio declined 15%, which is, this is crazy. Listen to this. The truckload ratio declined 15% from 46.7 to 39.8 loads per truck. Come on, are you kidding me? Which indicates continued strong demand for flatbeds. I mean, I don't see how any kind of rate decline could take place with numbers like that. Now we're going to jump over into the demand for reefers. Reefer ratio cools 15%. Load availability recouped 4.1% for reefers in the first 4 weeks after Independence Day as truckload capacity increased 24%. The resulting load-to-truck ratio declined 15% from 12.2 to 10.2 loads per truck, which remains favorable for carriers. And this goes back to what I'm saying is you have to know in the spot market, you have to have the more information that you avail yourself to and you know exactly which markets are still have the pocketed demand is still built up in certain markets. If you know where to be, when to be there, you still can get good rates on the spot market. But goes back to saying cations are still favorable for carriers. This is still a great opportunity to go out and be soliciting for direct customers. If you want to kind of take yourself out of the swings, the volatile swings of the spot market, going and trying to recruit and solicit direct customers is one way to definitely take yourself out of the volatile swings of the spot market. And we're going to jump into rates real quickly for dry vans in the U.S. market. In the Northeast, the average rate in the Northeast was $1.90. Rates dipped. Let me read what it says here. For the week of July 6th through the 12th, rates dipped 2 cents as a national average last week, edging down from a record high. Rates remain elevated, but they lost a portion of the previous week gains in Buffalo, Charlotte, Chicago, Dallas, and Stockton, and other major markets. So jumping into the Northeast market, the average rate in the Northeast was for dry vans was $1.90 per mile. Moving down to the Mid-Atlantic and Southeast, it was $2.51 per mile on average. Midwest was showing $2.18 per mile on average. South Central region, $2.14 per mile. And the average out west showing a $2.45 rate per mile. That's on the dry van segment. Jumping over to U.S. flatbed rates, flatbed rates dropped 7 cents last week to a national average of $2.47 per mile. Flatbed equipment continues to be in high demand and rates remain strong. Northeast market showing an average of $3.61 per mile. Southeast market showing an average of $2.74 per mile. The Midwest market showing an average of $3.23 per mile. South Central market showing $2.97 per mile, and out west $2.09 per mile on the flatbed rates. And jumping over into reefer rates for the week of the 6th through the 12th, reefer rates dipped 5 cents last week to $2.44 per mile as pressure receded after the July 4th holiday. National average rates typically peak in June for reefers on the spot market. So to the regional rates, Northeast rates were averaging $2.36 per mile. Southeast rates were averaging $2.26 per mile. Midwest rates were averaging $2.69 per mile. South Central rates were averaging $2.03 per mile. And out west was averaging $2.51 per mile. So that's kind of a quick, really quick brief synopsis on the DAT trend lines. And I want to jump over real quickly and try to move through this real quick on the fruit and vegetable truck rate report from the USDA. And this week we have no markets in the entire United States showing a shortage. There are no markets that are showing a shortage. You have several markets showing a slight shortage, and I will go over those real quickly. The slight shortages are indicated in San Joaquin Valley, California. That's showing onions are coming out of that area. Slight shortages in South Carolina showing melons and tomatoes are coming out of that area. Upper Valley, Twin Falls, Burley District, I'm going to think that's in Idaho, showing a slight shortage. Eastern North Carolina is showing a slight shortage. And the only other market that shows a slight shortage is southern New Mexico. All other markets are showing at least adequate or a slight surplus. So take that for what it's worth. Now, got through that really quickly. With no further ado, I'd like to bring on our esteemed guest, Mr. Chuck Snow. Chuck, are you there with me?
Good evening, Rico. Certainly am. Glad to be here.
Good deal. Good. Glad to have you aboard. So, Chuck, like I was saying, been hearing a lot of talk about the spot market rates plummeting and everything through this month. And by you being a broker, I know you're on the Canadian side, but I'm thinking that some of the stuff is pretty similar. Correct me if I'm wrong, but can you shed any light on that?
Yes, you know, and we're involved on the U.S. domestic side too through some of our brokerage operations with clients. What happens this time of year? First of all, you've got an awful lot of plant shutdowns. You've got holidays. You've just finished one of the biggest holidays of the year, so you had all that pent-up demand. It wavers a bit during the summer. I don't think there's anything to be alarmed about. Certain areas, you know, I could overhear what you were saying, where the rates were quite low, you know, in the Northeast. And, you know, freight out of the Northeast, there's not the amount of manufacturing there was at one time. So, you know, when you go in there, you know you're going to get good money going into places like Jersey and Connecticut. Don't expect to get rich coming out. And, you know, this is a seasonal thing. And the other thing on the reefer side, of course, is the seasonal produce throughout the whole continent is starting to come to market. So there's going to be some difference in pricing. There won't be the volumes of fresh fruits and vegetables coming out of certain regions in the U.S. that there is other times a year because there's no demand for that volume from the west or the south or for some of the produce into some of the areas where they're starting to produce their own soft fruits, especially. You know, some of the plums and cherries are starting to come in regions. And that changes everything every year. I don't think it's anything to get alarmed about.
Okay. Well, that's great news. So what have you been experiencing as far as I'll come back to that later. But what have you been – you guys have been experiencing as far as your operation is concerned?
There's huge, huge shortage of flatbed trucks everywhere in the U.S. We just can't get them. And I'm talking about for domestic U.S. shipments. They're just scarcer than hen's teeth. And in, you know, in some weird parts of the U.S. where you would think there would be a lot of equipment, there's none. You know, places like Nebraska, there's just nothing. You have to run trucks from Denver to get something picked up in Nebraska. So we're seeing that all over. I was moving a load the other day for a client from Laredo, just up to Amarillo. It was 400 miles, I think. And, you know, when I called people I knew down there, they started laughing. They said, step in line. I've got 50 loads ahead of you. So there is, and this is on flatbed, and it was nothing oversized. And
wow.
The rates down there were crazy. They were, you know, $4 and $5 a mile. So,
wow,
you know, when people it's unbelievable. People bellyache about not being able to make money on a truck. Well, you're probably pulling the wrong trailer.
Well, and that's, wow, funny you say that, because George Heck, one of our esteemed guests and colleagues, he calls in a lot and he talks so much about having diversity. Even if you're only one truck operation, George has several different types of trailers. And he's big on utilizing every piece of every piece of tool or equipment in his arsenal. We got a few people lined up that want to ask questions, and like I said, I want to have want to keep this interactive as possible on this podcast. So you guys, a lot of guys are on the line. Press number one to get in queue, and we're going to start coming directly to you. We're going to fly live. We don't have my call screener tonight, so we're going to go to the caller in the 517. Let's see if we can bring him up here. Hi, caller in the 517. You're on.
Hi, my name is Grace, and I'm actually not a carrier or a truck driver. I'm actually a broker, so thank you for letting me get on you guys' show. But I've actually been in the industry now for just a little bit over a year, and I really like the relationship, the strong relationship between the drivers and the actual brokers. So I just wanted to ask you guys, just for some advice on making relationships between carriers and brokers tighter, and what we can do to, I guess, really help you guys out in the long run, not just finding loads, but maybe complaints that you've had from, like, brokers in the past or ways that we could really better our industry.
That is a great question, Grace. It's great to hear the question. And if Rico, if I can answer this one, because we run two separate businesses here. We have a brokerage and a truck line. And one of our biggest complaints and frustrations in dealing with outside brokers is we don't get correct information. And it is so frustrating. We send a poor driver in to pick up a load, and it's at the wrong place, or it's the wrong PO number, or it's the wrong size skids, all sorts of different things. It's supposed to be 12,000 pounds, and it's 49,000 pounds, and the poor guy can only scale 44,000 pounds, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So next to getting paid in a timely fashion, I think the second most important thing is to get correct information from brokers. And that's where we have customers that do it too and give us incorrect information ourselves. But I think as a broker, I think what you have to do sometimes is really you need to call and make sure you've got the right information. And I think too often what happens is it's garbage in, garbage out.
Yep.
And the customer gives the broker very, very basic information. It's really scarce. And the broker gives that to the driver verbatim or the carrier without checking it out.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. And it's funny because a lot of the drivers that I work with are owner-operators. They tell me about those horror stories. Or, for instance, one of my customers works with a couple other brokers as well, and I'll have drivers that will, you know, ask me about a load, and they're like, hey, is this coming out of this customer? I've really been screwed over there. And it's just because not my customer, but because of the broker that they used at that time period, you know, decided to not actually do their due diligence and figure out every little detail about the load before putting someone on it. So, yeah, I that's one thing about my job I really stress is before I even go and post the load or call someone about it, I get every little bit of detail, whether it's, you know, dunnage, what type of trailer, temperature set, all of that. So, yeah, that's definitely some great advice just for you personally, being in both trucking and brokering. I actually work for a smaller company here in Michigan, and we're expanding and growing very quickly and efficiently, and we're looking into getting trucks very soon. You know, did you do trucking first and then brokering, or did you have a broker, were you a broker and then went into the trucking business as well, and how did that, I guess, added structure, did it hurt your business? Was there any, like, problems that you had or any advice for adding trucks to brokering companies coming non-asset to asset base?
It's the toughest transition that you can ever make.
Really?
And if your company does not have experience at running trucks, I don't recommend it.
Okay, no, that's great advice. Hey, truth is the best, right?
With brokerage, first of all, you always have your shelves full of something to sell.
Yeah.
Okay? You've got You know, you've always got freight you can find and trucks you can find, and you put them together, and you make whatever percentage you people work on. And there's all sorts of different margins from, you know, 8 to 30% out there.
Yeah.
Okay? And that's one thing. When you have a fleet of trucks and you have 10 trucks and those trucks are loaded, well, your shelves are empty.
Yeah.
And I can honestly tell you that the little bit you make on trucks is a lot of times not worth the effort unless you're going to do it in a big way. It's
mm-hmm.
a tough game. We got forced into it. Now, way back in the before we started Traffics, we had a small trucking company for a year that I ran, and I'd been around trucks before that.
Mm-hmm.
And then Traffics always had some owner-operators originally working under their own authority and insurance, and then because of a bunch of incidents that happened up in Canada with wheels flying off the trucks, not ours, thank God, but there was quite a lot of bad press. And
yeah.
If you remember that, I guess it was happening all over, and it was really when the 53-footers started to come in, wheels started to fly off because a lot of the places we were asked to put those trailers into were not built for 53s. They were built for 40-foot and 45-foot and 48-foot. And by the time the drivers jockeyed those trailers into position, they, you know, they played hell on the wheel bearings, and guys had leaky wheel seals, and before you knew it, tires were flying off and killing people in cars.
Yeah.
So we got forced by some of our large clients to go out and have Traffics trucks, and that kind of forced our hand. And we've done it, and we've had some successful times, and we've had some tough times with it. It's a tough, tough game.
Yeah.
And I don't know why you're doing it. If you're doing it to just to make more money, don't bother. Put your effort into brokerage. If you're doing it to serve some of your customers in a better light because they are demanding it, then you do what you got to do. But
yeah.
if you're doing it to make a whole bunch of money, don't do it. I'm telling
Great.
You right now. This is, you know, and anybody that calls in will tell you, you know, unless you're going to do it in a very, very large or specialized scale,
mm-hmm.
forget it. Biggest problem is finding drivers. If you're going to pull dry vans, you're just getting into the same racket as a whole bunch of other people. And
yeah.
unless you're established, it's, you know, you're going after the low-hanging fruit. You're not going to make a lot of money. If you're going to do it, become specialized and pick a lane and do it that way.
Okay.
That's my advice to you.
All right. All right. Awesome. Great term about fair play. So we're here to educate a lot of our drivers and everything as well. So what are some of the biggest problems that you have out of dealing with carriers?
Oh, yeah. No, that's a great question. Thank you for asking me that. Well, I would probably have to say just accountability on your location. And I really, I work with great carriers. I don't have too much to complain about. But I think for me so far, in the year that I've been in this industry, it's tough when, especially you build such a strong relationship with your customer. It's tough when you have a driver, for instance, that, you know, says they're only like 50 miles away and then almost like 3 hours goes by and your customer's like, you know, they're still not here. Where are they? So I kind of would like to know maybe the reasoning for why drivers sometimes do that, or if there's a way to make that, I guess, accountability a little bit better. But so, like I said, we really do diligence on our carriers and make sure they're good people and, you know, solid on making their pickup appointments and all of that kind of stuff. But I think that's, like, the biggest thing for me so far is just the lack of truth when it comes to delivery, being able to get somewhere on time, and all of that. So maybe speak on that for a little bit. That would be great.
All right. Well, Grace, well, we commend you for calling in. How about you want to give yourself a shameless plug? Tell you come where you might be looking for trucks at or anything like that, and maybe possibly if you're bold enough, maybe you can throw your phone number out.
Yeah, no, I definitely will. So I work for a small brokerage company here in Lansing, Michigan, Fifth Wheel Freight. That's the name of our company. We are a diamond broker. We have that $25,000 bond, which, of course, everyone has to have. Pay our carriers on a very, very timely manner. We I think, maybe once, twice on accident because of when receivables could come in, you know, pay people late. I think we're on average about 12 to 25 days to pay. So for all of you guys out there looking for loads out of Toledo, Cleveland, Michigan, all throughout the Midwest, I have building more customers in Pennsylvania. These are mostly flatbed, but I do have reefer and van loads as well. Feel free to give us a call, look us up. We have a website, www.fifthwheelfreight.com, with all of our contact info there. Or you can definitely give me a call if you just want to say, you know, thanks for, you know, talking on the show. That'd be awesome. My phone number is 517-708-8816, and my extension is 103, but you can talk to anyone on the sales team. We're great. I definitely love to plug us. And, you know, like I was saying earlier, we are looking to become asset-based, but I think definitely show this podcast to my boss when I'm listening to it, too, because I think that was some really great advice from someone who's obviously been through that transition. So,
great.
Yeah,
I'd like to just say one thing. One of your frustrations sometimes with drivers taking, you know, not being where they're supposed to be when they're supposed to be there. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever been on the road yourself?
Yes, I have.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Then you know that sometimes, especially when you get into some of the areas like New Jersey, Chicago, New York, traffic is just awful, and what should really take, you know, if you've got a 90-mile trip, can take 4 hours.
Yeah.
And
you know,
so
that definitely makes sense. I guess it's more of the, like, this traffic is bad, there's no way, you know, I feel like for most brokers, that they have a good relationship with their customers, they can usually get them to stay open or have them just pick up tomorrow. So, no, but yeah, you're right. I guess it's a small kind of thing to complain about, but.
Well, it's not, but you know what? What happens is quite often, and we go through it all the time, where a customer says, what do you mean your truck isn't, you know, he's not here yet. It's only 50 miles. And we say, well, yeah, it's only 50 miles, but he's in a tractor trailer going between, you know, Hackensack and, you know, and somewhere near Philadelphia. At 50 grueling miles on a Friday afternoon.
And
sometimes that does get lost in the sauce, so to speak. But great question, Grace. Look forward to maybe your phone jumping off the hook tomorrow.
yeah, definitely give me a call if you want anything in the Midwest. We got tons of lanes that we're running. A lot of steel, but we've slowly been moving out of the steel into a lot of reefer-type shipments and van loads, too, of various metals. And especially now with construction going on, we've really built up, like, cement companies, brick companies, stuff like that. So, like I said, phone number is 517-708-8816. My personal extension is 10. But, yeah, like I said, we are growing, so we would love to add carriers to our database right now. So if you just even want to call in and say, hey, I got my packet, set me up with you guys for the future, that would be the best help in the world. So I will definitely – I started listening to this podcast today, actually. I've heard about it from an associate of mine, Brian, who's actually listening now too. So we will definitely be listening in the future, and I'll continue to call in too with any questions I have.
Cool. Well, we appreciate it, Grace. Thanks for listening. All right. So we got that was an interesting phone call.
Yeah,
we got another
great
call coming in from we got one more coming in from and just to remind everybody that's on the line, press 1 if you got any questions or anything so we can see you. We'll get right to you. Caller calling in from the 519. Caller, what's your name and how can we help?
Hi, my name's Richard, and don't know how long I'm going to be able to be online here. I'm in between Timmins and Sudbury, so Chuck will understand that.
Good luck.
Hey, Chuck, I just wanted to pick your brain real quick here. I just started the application process to get my CBOR. I've been leased on to Landstar for going on 3 years now. I'm going to stay with Landstar. I'm going to actually put my younger brother in a truck. Zero experience, fresh out of school. I was able to find insurance for him. We're limited. Ontario, Quebec, Winnipeg. And it's got to be a van for the first year. Now, I know it's a, you know, I know that's a tough market, and I don't know that market very well. I guess my first question is, do I stick with a tandem, or do I go to a triaxle with a lift to get the heavier loads coming out of Montreal or out of Winnipeg or going out to Winnipeg?
I'm actually cringing here, seriously. Because, and this is for you, anybody listening on the U.S. side, because freight in Canada really moves one way. You have such a hard time getting back out of the West. Will they let you haul a reefer, or it's got to be dry?
No, it's just a van. That's all I was limited to. No flatbeds, no tankers for the first year until you get some experience.
Okay. I'd probably look at... You know, you really want to stay away from the low-hanging fruit because you've got everybody and their brother that doesn't want to go on the U.S. side for whatever reason, immigration reason, or they can't pass a drug test or whatever it is, and they run that lane. And part of the big problem is there's too many guys doing it. So if you're going to do it, you really want to differentiate yourself somehow with a piece of equipment. You know, if I was going to be forced to run that lane, I'd probably go to something like a Tritem reefer, or at least heated. But, boy, it's tough getting out of Winnipeg. That's why at least a reefer, you could maybe haul pork. I don't know what's coming back. And there is some potatoes, I think, coming back out of there. But it is tough.
Okay, yeah, I was kind of... I added Manitoba to the insurance just as a kind of a little, not a safety net, but somewhere you can run a little farther. We live down towards Sarnia, Ontario, so I think I'm just going to run them up and down the corridor for the first year.
Right.
Just get them some experience in that. But
probably do okay. Running between, let's say, Windsor and Montreal, you keep them close to home. And you, even running that lane, you could probably get away with a tandem reefer and do okay.
Okay. Now, what about...
Once you go west, you're going to need that help with that triaxle.
Yeah, that's what I'm... The last couple times I've been out there, that's all that's coming back, and, you know, is tritems and that. Where's a good place to start in Ontario for brokers or carriers, like, to find the freight?
I'll tell you what. If you give me a call tomorrow, Traffics, I'm extension 203.
Okay.
And I'll put you in touch with some people here for some loads out of the Windsor area, going towards Montreal.
Okay.
And that would be a start, anyways.
Yeah. Exactly. I've been at Landstar almost 3 years. I love it here. I don't really want to leave. I don't want to take my truck off. I've built some pretty good relationships over here, and I'm quite comfortable.
Right.
But and the original plan was for him to come on here at Landstar. They were going to let him come on with no experience, but he can't get his fast card, so they won't let him come on. So that's why we're stuck over here. I had a crazy idea the other night about if I was to leave Landstar, why couldn't I run the U.S. part of the operation and he run the Ontario part, but with the rates and that, is that economical?
No, I think you're better off for yourself. You got a good gig at Landstar. They are a good company. I personally, for dealing with them from the brokerage side, I'm not real comfortable because of the whole agency thing, to be honest with you. But I do respect them. I respect what they do. They're a reputable company. I would never say a bad word about them. I have friends that have their trucks on at Landstar, and they seem to be quite satisfied.
Okay.
So, I'd probably leave my truck on there.
Yeah, and that's sort of where I'm leaning. I'm really comfortable. Like, the last 2 years, I think it's $1.89 and $1.91 gross to the truck when it was all, you know. So, like, it's I think it's crazy for me to jump ship, but I just thought that there might have been a little more opportunity if I was dragging the freight in from Michigan, Ohio, Indiana, then he would run it into Toronto or Montreal and deliver it and bring something out for me. But
now you probably, you know what, it doesn't always work the way it should. So
yeah,
you're,
I know.
You know, it works great on paper. And I think any of us could, before we got into this, could sit down and figure all sorts of wonderful scenarios out on paper, but they really don't work when you get into the truck and you have all sorts of ridiculous waiting times and delays and all sorts of unscheduled events happen in our lives.
Yep, exactly. Okay, Chuck, well, I appreciate your time, and I'll give you a call tomorrow.
Okay, good luck to you.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, so we got... Like I said, everybody, we want to try to keep it interactive. So press number one, put yourself in the queue because we ran out of callers in the queue. So if you push number one, we can get right to you. So, Chuck, jumping back over to the spot market rates and everything, because it's really been a hot topic in the Facebook group as far as it plummeting on a lot of people. What areas do you do you know of, or could you say would be some good primary markets to focus on for the different perspective segments of the market, like for us flatbed? Well, flatbed, we already said it. It's pretty much high demand anywhere in the country.
It is. It's crazy.
But,
you know, for reefers, there's lots of opportunity, it seems, in the Pacific Northwest, for example. There's some in the there's a little bit still in the South. Parts of California are still producing a little bit, I guess. And that all changes really quickly. And part of the problem with the whole spot growth thing, and I remember this way before we got into spot markets and DAT or anything else. What would happen is if you were down in Homestead, Florida, for example, around April, and you were the first truck there, one of the first trucks there, and the melons started to come in, and you picked up a load of melons, and they would pay crazy money. You'd get, you know, $4 a mile for the first load. And people would hear you got $4 a mile, and they would hurry on down there. And by the time the last truck got there, the rate would be $1.50 a mile. And
right,
what happens with these spot quotes, Rico, is the spot quote is last week's news. And it doesn't pertain, because everything is so volatile and it changes so quickly. As soon as anybody hears that there's great money in an area and they can get into those areas, then, you know, all the trucks are in there and then the rates go down. So, you know, truck drivers and truckers are always shooting themselves in the feet. And we do this, and that's
Go ahead, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, no, and one of my biggest things is that the best thing you can do is pick a lane, do something, and do it right. I think it's pretty dangerous living the spot quote thing and going from region to region. I think that, you know, and playing the spot quote market, because you get burned too often. I think that if we're going to make money in this game, I think you say, okay, and especially if you're a smaller operator, you say, okay, I'm in Chicago, and I'm going to run from whether it's Chicago to California or Chicago to St. Louis, whatever it is, do it and do it well. And
right.
Become an
and
expert on it.
That's some of the advice that we've been giving out as far as telling people when people have asked us about going out and soliciting direct customers. And I'm saying that if you're a smaller operation, if you're just you're a small guy, you need to focus on that particular lane so that you can run back and forth so that people will get to know you. Then you become like the expert in that particular market for that lane.
Yes, and you know what? Those are the most successful people I see.
Right. And that's great because now it gives us some validation so people can start to, you know, I don't know. A lot of times I think some of the conundrums and some of the things that people hold back on when they want to go and get direct customers, but what their fear is that, well, I like being able to have my time and be able to do what I want to do when I want to do it. And I fear that if I go out and get a customer, I'm going to have to be beholden to the customer, and now I'm going to have to – my schedule is going to have to be dictated by servicing the customer. And some people, that may be a hang-up.
Oh, it's going to be. You're right. because some of them want, you know, they want their freedom, but they want their, you know, they want their finances in order, and it doesn't necessarily go in that order.
The age-old thing of always wanting your cake and eat it too, right?
You got it. And, you know, some of the things, you know, we talk about, it's so true, and we talk about going after direct customers. Well, I got to tell you something, that sometimes if you're a one-truck operator, you could possibly do better not having your own customer and just being the go-to guy for a bunch of brokers.
Exactly.
You can actually do better because these guys are out selling for you. Yeah, they pay, you know what, they're paying you 90% or whatever they're paying you, but you agree, number one, to take the load or not to take it. If you're good at what you do and you do it all the time, they'll work with you. And the other thing is, I think, for the most part, you may be better off from a financial point of view of taking the work from a broker because you don't have the financial risk. Remember, the brokers are, they've got the bonds now, and I think that we've weeded out an awful lot of the bad ones. What happens
right.
with customers, you get into a customer, and he could be the best customer in the whole world, and he could pay you in, you know, in 21 days or 7 days, whatever the arrangements are, and his best customer goes out of business and goes bankrupt and takes him for $10 million or whatever it is, and he has to shut his plant down. You're not getting paid, and you have no recourse whatsoever. If
right.
your broker
you
goes under...
Get in line at the bankruptcy court.
You got it. And if you're lucky, you get 10 cents on the dollar, if you're lucky. Now,
yes.
if your broker goes under, you can go after the actual customer. You can do that and get paid.
Right.
So I think you got to keep that in mind, too, when we're telling these guys to go out and get their own customers. And the other thing about having your own customer, an awful lot of the brokers will work with the truckers, I know we will, and we will, you know, especially the produce guys that are running from coast to coast, we'll advance them fuel money. And
right.
Before you can, you know, before you have a customer that is going to pay you in 30 days, which is pretty standard, and we have some big Fortune 500 companies that pay us in 90 days to
right.
hold that money for 90 days. And that's what, you know, and I don't think we're a lot different than a lot of other trucking companies and brokerage companies. So if you've got to wait for 30 or 60 or 90 days for your money, you're better off to deal with the broker and get paid right away because, you know, trucking is all cash flow, as we know. We buy diesel fuel every day.
Exactly, exactly. We got another caller coming in. Let's see here. Caller from the 402. Let's see if we can get him up here. Caller from the 402, you're on live with Rico and Chuck. How can we help?
Hey, Rico. Hello, Chuck. Hey, talking about going into a step deck, but I don't have no experience.
What's your name, caller?
Slow. Kevin.
Kevin? All right, you say you're trying to look into going into a step deck?
What are you pulling now, Kevin?
Dry van.
Okay. Where do you live? At Nebraska, I presume?
Yep.
Okay. I would suggest, and this is just a suggestion, there's got to be a place somewhere around Omaha, some sort of a truck driving school.
Yeah.
And I bet you if you phone them up, there's some sort of course they give you they would provide in how to tarp loads and how to chain them down and how to strap them and stay in compliance. And, you know, if not there, I'm sure south of you, 100 miles in the Kansas City area, there's something. It's certainly worth your while to learn how to do it. And if worse came to worse, if you had to hire somebody to show you, it'd be well worth your while, the amount of money you're going to make. You heard Rico at the start of this podcast talk about the difference in dollars.
Right.
You can make a lot of money with a step deck right now.
Yeah, and there's also another resource. You can go to J.J. Keller. J.J. Keller has some training programs. If you're a member of NASDIC, you should have a J.J. Keller catalog that they send out to you they usually send out that annual catalog every
at
least once a year. Well, if you thumb through that thing, there is an in-depth DVD training module for doing flatbeds on tarping, and it goes over the different thing about, you know, doing the binds and doing the binders and the ties and how much weight, you know, all that stuff, because it's really particular on as far as making sure all that stuff is properly secured on the flatbed. But J.J. Killer does have a DVD program, but there's nothing like the hands-on experience. I mean, you can watch something and you can pick up some things, but there's nothing like, you know, maybe getting out here and maybe on an off day or something, going down to a place that where you stay at, that load step decks and flatbeds and go down there and help a guy tarp or something, you know, so you can pick up some things, you know, just try to think out of the box, anything that's unorthodox. But I'm sure where you stay at on your off days, you know, you might be able to find a place, you know, you should places. I mean, it's not hard to spot step deck freight or flatbed freight. So you know where those places are. Maybe just go down there and hang out or something like that, and see if you can help a guy out tarping his load or whatever. I'm sure he'd be more than glad to.
I think, Rico, that's a great idea. I'm sure that if there's a local trucking company in Omaha that just runs local, they'd let you tag along one of their drivers and help them throw rags on top of loads and chain it down. If you did that, you know, for four or five times, you'd get an idea what has to be done.
Okay, yeah, because then the other one is all the equipment that I'm going to need with the straps and the chains and the right chains and.
Yeah, you're going to need a lot of equipment, and it's got to be fairly new equipment under the new laws.
Okay.
Now, are you what sort of step deck are you looking at?
Well, I don't know. Which way you want me to go?
Well,
that's the other thing. That's the other thing is I don't know which way to go. You tell me. You say step deck. Okay. Do I want to do a single drop, double drop?
A single drop single drop's pretty versatile, and I got to tell you something. If I was going to do it personally, from what I've seen, I would. You know, there's some really good makes out there, Rettenauer and Mack, and there's a whole bunch of them. And I would look at putting one of those sliding tarp kits on. They're worth their weight in gold.
Like a Conestoga?
Yes, sir.
Not quite as tall, but.
Well, you go 13.6, and you know, with that step deck, you can just about, the only thing you're not going to be able to load is oversized machinery, or oversized loads, which that's a real specialty anyways. And if you've never pulled a deck before, you really don't want to start pulling oversized to begin with. So if you want to set yourself up for real success, that's what I would get.
Single drop with a sliding side.
Yes. And whatever you do, get a full sliding tandem. And some of the guys were even going to the Tridoms.
Okay.
There's lots of good loads out there, and, you know, somebody that's willing to do, as Kevin says, to do the hard work can make themselves an awful lot of money right now. And there's no end in sight.
Yeah. Wow. And that's great. I'm thinking that, you know, I got asked last week about what do we predict as far as the rates and capacity is going as far as, you know, and I think that everything, even though we're going through a little bit of a dip right now, I think that we're still in full recovery mode. I think that we're still gaining a lot of momentum. And all the numbers and indications still show that, you know, we still are in a very strong market as far as trucks and everything is concerned. So I'm still really optimistic, even though this week, you know, some people think that the sky's falling. But like I said, I think it's just more of a compartmentalized as far as where the bad rates are, you know, if you're in a bad city or not.
Well, the future, you know what, I think the future looks phenomenal for our industry because we, you know, this shortage of drivers is not going to go away. It's going to get a lot worse. So this economy does not even have to grow for this industry to thrive as long as there's people willing to drive trucks. And that's going to be the scary part.
Kevin, did you have anything else before we move on?
No, you can turn me off.
All right. Well, we appreciate it, Kevin. We appreciate the call. We got another caller calling in from the 602. Let's see if we can get him up here real quick. Chuck, caller from the 602, what's your name and where you calling from?
Rico, Chuck, thanks for taking my call. It's Chuck's driver of the month, or employee of the month.
Hey, Bill, how are you, buddy?
Hey, not bad. Hey, just a little advice there for Kevin. Another great resource would be the Nebraska Trucking Association, the State Trucking Association. And from them, you can get the National Cargo Securement Guide, which is a great go-to reference for cargo securement and doing things in compliance. And, if I was picking a set deck, it would definitely have a sliding axle on it so I could open up and make myself a lot more versatile on juggling loads.
Yeah, I think that there's or the Tritem axle. You're seeing more and more Tritem step decks.
And it and Chuck, you're bang on with the driver medical coming on board. We're not going to see it right away, but the amount of drivers that are going to be ineligible for this career is going to be frightening, and capacity is really going to tighten up within the next 2 years.
I couldn't agree more. I think if you go into any truck stop in North America, I don't think it's an exaggeration. I think 35% of those guys and women that we see in the truck stops are going to get their tickets pulled.
Yeah, I'm sitting in Ontario, California, as we speak, and I'm watching two go across the parking lot that do not have a hope of passing a medical.
Yeah, it's sad. And you know what? I think that it's a whole other subject, but I think that the truck stops up until very recently have just, a lot of them have killed their own customers, which I really don't understand.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. That's all I've got to say. Thanks for taking my call.
Take care. Nice talking to you, Dale. Keep up the great work.
Take it easy, Dale. But my question about, you got guys and gals out there that maybe we're going to get ready to start wrapping it up here. We got about 8 minutes left in the hour. But for guys and girls that are interested in trying to go out and get direct customers, and they may be feeling a little bit intimidated or whatever, would you recommend, Chuck, like a sales school or something like that, going through some type of sales training or something like that?
100%. I couldn't agree more. They really do need some sort of sales training, just like you wouldn't get in a truck and not know how to drive it. If you're going to go out and sell, you need to know how to sell. And the best one in the world, and everybody in this company has taken it and passed the course, is the Dale Carnegie course. And if you can't get to the course right away, the course isn't cheap. It's a couple thousand dollars. For God's sakes, go and read some of his books. It's old stuff. It's been rewritten through the years, but it's good stuff. And you need to know what you're doing out there. And when you go in to see a customer, you've got to look the part. You've got to be presentable looking, and you've got to be able to talk intelligently. Because I think today's buyer is a lot smarter than he's ever been before. The people are knowledgeable. They have a lot of information.
Right. And that was one of the other things that I was going to ask you as well, or at least mention, was that when you're going in to solicit to your customer or whatever, you need to be able to go in there and present something to them as far as information that may, help inform them as to how they may be able to get a better, bring more value to them as far as what you could do to help them increase the value to their customers. Maybe being able to try to dissect what it is that they're doing to see where there may be chinks or flaws in their operation that you might be able to help ease.
How true. My best advice for anybody starting out is to remember you got two ears and one mouth, and do a lot less talking and a lot more listening and you'll be a lot more successful when you're out there selling.
Cool.
They don't
want
to hear about you. They want you to ask about them.
Right. Because people like to talk about themselves.
Well, of course. And they want you to ask. They do. You know what? That's everybody's favorite topic. And they want to. And if you're a good salesperson, you're going to ask the right questions. And the right questions can be about what you're shipping. They don't really care if your truck is green or blue. And they do care about your safety record. That's really important. And they care about your service standards, where you go. But what they really want is you to ask questions so they can talk. Try to say as little as you can and get as much information you'll get the customer. Make them feel secure.
Great tips again. And so, everyone, I hope that you guys were taking notes. I hope that you guys got a lot of information. I tried to forewarn you guys last week that we were going to have Chuck back on this week. And once again, I tell you, the hour has just flown by.
Has it ever?
And
I always have fun.
Yeah, it just flew by tonight. And really good calls, really great questions. I was kind of caught off guard by our very first caller tonight, but I definitely appreciate the broker calling in. That's some good stuff. The show goes to show that we are making a little noise out there, and we're starting to get a little recognition. A lot more people are starting to hear about us.
Definitely.
It's always a good thing. So, Chuck, anything that you want to say in wrapping up? Anything you want to close? Anything you want to... I noticed you guys redid the website since the last time I looked at it.
Yeah, we're redoing, and we're actually going to be changing our logo. We're just about wrapping that up. A lot of changes here, and they're all for the, they're all positive changes. So, you can't stay in business if you don't keep changing. So we've got a young management team here, and they're really driving change, and it's all positive change.
Right. I was listening to Wharton School, Business School Radio, and they was one of the things that the guys from Wharton Business School were talking about was that you constantly have to be, they saying that the oxymoron, the key word in the industry that a lot of people are saying is you're starting to cannibalize your own industry is what they were saying. You're cannibalizing your own industry on certain things that they were doing, but they was like, who else better to cannibalize anything yourself? You don't want to sit around and allow your competition to come in and eat you out of something. It's better to put yourself, put your own stuff out of business by replacing it or doing something that better modify it. And I was just like, man, that's gold right there.
Yeah, exactly. Walmart is a great example of that, Rico.
Yes.
They will eventually cannibalize themselves because they're opening up so many stores, but they're doing it right.
Right.
At least, as you say, they're going to take themselves out of the box if they ever get out of the box.
Yes, sir. So how can people learn more about you and Traffics if they want to get in contact with you guys?
Well, they can call here anytime they want, 800-388-4352. And my extension is 203, and they can look on the web, www.traffix.com. And if they're if they're on the road, they may see some of our trucks or trailers.
And if we happen to have anybody if we have anybody Canadian listeners that may be looking for to come on board or anything, you guys doing any hiring?
Yeah, we're hiring drivers and owner-operators, both for flatbed and dry van, also for reefer. So we've got lots of opportunities both here in Milton, Ontario, and Calgary, Alberta. And we do run a cross-border operation, so we will not hire anybody that won't cross the border.
Okay, so once again, Chuck, you want to throw that phone number out there just one more time?
800-388-4352, extension 203. That reaches me directly. And I do return calls. I'm adamant about that.
All right. Well, everyone, I hope you enjoyed and got something from tonight's call, tonight's podcast. Chuck is a wealth of information, great guy, more than willing and open to share and help you along your way. I hope you guys see you. So this is the second call with Chuck. He's been our going to be our once-a-month guest on the podcast, and we're going to try to look forward to seeing getting back with Chuck again on the next call. Is it the third Wednesday of every month?
Third Wednesday of every month. I got you in my calendar.
All right. Well, Chuck, we appreciate it once again. And for Kevin Rutherford and the entire Less Truck team, this is Rico Muhammad signing out live from Ozark, Arkansas. Wishing you all good night. Be safe out there, everybody.
Good night.